April's job numbers are out, folks, and they are not good. They are not a sight to see. Not a sight to see. According to the Daily Wire, the black unemployment rate increased. 18,000 manufacturing jobs were lost. No construction jobs were added. Unemployment for Americans without a college education increased. And women had a net loss in jobs. I mean, I thought the Democrats were all for, you know, black people and women and all these groups, right? They said they were so important to our coalition and we are champions for them and their rights. I guess all of that political talk didn't translate well when it came time to put your money where your mouth is, right? Kind of like what we have been telling you for a while. Fancy speeches don't really add to your pocketbook. Making you feel good and sending out nice tweets written by 18-year-old is not going to add money to your wallet. Folks, this is just the first sign in many to come. This is the Pierre Wilson Show, y'all. Let's rock and roll. So, some people are shocked. You know, I'm reading all these different articles. I've caught, you know, what some of the anchors are saying on TV and, you know, I'm keeping my ear to the ground, kind of see what the everyday American is feeling about this jobs report. And it's safe to say that across the board, I think either people are either stunned or people are like, we saw this coming. For the stunned people, like, for example, on CNBC, they're calling the April jobs report the worst miss in 23 years since 1998. And when we say miss, they're referring to the fact that expectations of what the jobs report was going to be is completely off. Complete, not a little bit, completely off from what it ended up being. You know, and you put that together with fuel prices right now, you got an economy that is on the brink of collapse in many ways. And I talked about this a lot last week. The amount of spending that Joe Biden is putting out there right now, or at least proposing, is not going to help. I mean, unemployment ticked up to 6.1%. 6.1%. Bloomberg says the numbers are out. In the top line, and on the top line, they are way worse than expected. Something seems very off, you think? Only 266,000 jobs were created in April, and the unemployment rate ticked up 0.1% according to the report. Something seems very off. If this was Trump, they were like, Trump is killing our economy. No, Bloomberg is like, something seems off. CNBC, hiring was a huge letdown in April. 6.1% is the unemployment rate. A shortage of available workers. These are the key lines, the key points, I should say, in their statement. A shortage of available workers. Again, if this was Trump, they would have changed the wording. Let me correct the wording here. President Biden is paying people not to work. Can we just be blunt? Can we just call it out? President Joe Biden is paying people not to work, so it's causing a shortage of available workers. That's the truth, folks. Like that's what's happening. Let's not sugarcoat it. Let's not talk around it. If you're gonna continue to give people unemployment, some people are making more on unemployment than they were making when they were working. You are going to continue to see numbers like this. And you think I'm wrong? The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, right, directly blamed the Biden administration. They blamed the stimulus spending for the worsening of the economy. Pretty much saying that he's paying people not to work. Exactly what I just said. Let me actually read a statement. The disappointing jobs report makes it clear that paying people not to work is dampening what should be a stronger jobs market. One step policymakers should take now is ending the $300 weekly supplemental unemployment benefit. They're getting an additional $300 on top of their unemployment. People are making money to stay home. There is no way you can sugarcoat this. And for me, this is kind of what I've talked about throughout all of my shows. I know some of you guys just started joining me last week. at the start of the Pierre Wilson Show, but that wasn't my first podcast episode. If you had been following me since the beginning, you'll know that I've been kind of talking about these type of programs for a long time. You cannot continue to expect people to want to take care of themselves when you are doing that job for them. And then on top of that, you're trying to, or of course, this is what they're saying, right? They're saying, Biden's like, oh, this is terrible. We want the economy to boom. We need everybody to get back to work. You're saying you want these things, but then you're putting in place policies that are literally the opposite towards that goal. It's the same way they treat Black people. We want Black people to be prosperous, and we want them to live the American dream, and we want them to be able to have an equal opportunity because they feel like we don't have an equal opportunity, right? We want them to have equal opportunity, but then you're sitting here and you're putting them in a position where they are depending on government, some, not all, I always make that clear, depending on government, which is only going to get you so far, but yet you're expecting them to reach the heights of what you call the American dream. You get there by working hard, by building it on your own, not by letting government be your daddy. That is not how you get there. I always put it in perspective like this. If your parent said, okay, you know, I'm going to give you, you stay here, I'm going to give you an allowance every week, you know, $100 a week or whatever. Imagine if you stay with your parents and you just continue to just collect that $100 a week. Sure, you're getting a couple of things. You can probably buy some food and do a little bit of, you know, shopping maybe, whatever the case may be. But, you know, you pretty much know what your life's going to be because you know what you're getting. And you think that's a great thing. But what you're really missing is that if you actually went out and you started working, you probably could be making $500 a week, $1,000 a week, more. And not only would you not have to live with your parents anymore, you can get your own place. You can go travel if you want to. You can buy much more at the mall if you're shopping. You can do much more splurging on food or whatever you're passionate about, because I'm passionate about food. But you can do whatever you want, pretty much, because now you are in control of your destiny. Folks, that's what's happening. That's the difference between government dependency and you working hard. Sure, you working hard means that you actually have to go out and you have to try. You have to actually do something, but the reward is so much better, right? Because you're gonna reach into some potential that maybe you didn't even know was there, opposed to just the consistency of the $100 a week your parents are giving you, right? That's what's happening with government. These government programs may be consistent for some people, but it keeps their quality of life the same. It never advances. It may not get worse, but it doesn't advance. And you have no idea how much you left on the table at the end of your life because you sat there and you let the government be your daddy. These programs will incentivize people to think small. It will incentivize people to dream small. It will incentivize laziness. It will incentivize people getting comfortable with where they are. And it will carry over in a lot of situations to the next generation. And the Democrats will continue to say, we're helping. At least we are helping. No, you're not. Even if your parents were giving you $100 a week, at 40, 50, 60 years old, your parents have to realize that they may be giving you money and providing you a place to stay, but they are not helping you. They are actually hurting you. And most parents in Black America actually get that. Most parents in Black America tell their kids to go out and build your own life. But yet when it comes to the government, it's like we lose that entire mindset. No, government is not your daddy, and it is no longer help when it becomes dependency. So what you're seeing right now with this jobs report is what we've been dealing with and what I've been fighting against when it comes to welfare and all these other government programs for years. People aren't paying attention now because it's affecting a large amount of people. People that normally weren't depending on government programs are now depending on them. But this has been a problem going on for a long time, and I'm so glad that people are starting to wake up to it. Because this is an example of what it's like to live in a Democrat's version of America. Complacency. Victimhood. And it ain't for me. It ain't for me. Yes, ain't. That's the appropriate word right now for this situation. And of course, Biden's doing what he normally does. Oh, it's Trump's fault. Oh, somebody didn't really calculate right. You know, Biden's just, he's throwing darts at the wall right now. Then he circles back like, we got to get back to work, people. We got to get back to work. You think? But a recent poll came out. I don't have the exact poll in front of me, so, you know, I don't want this to be a direct quote. You guys know how I am. If I'm going to do a direct quote, I'm going to make sure I got the source, you know, handy or in front of me. I don't have it, but I do remember the numbers. You probably can look this up. A recent poll came out showing that I think almost 90-something percent, if not more, of Democrats approve of Joe Biden right now. America could literally be on fire. We could literally be in a recession, the way this is going, our economy is headed towards collapse. At the very least, inflation, which even CNN, liberal CNN, warned about. We could have, you know, black people could lose money. I mean, you saw what they said last week, what I told you last week, they were making much less under Obama than they were making under Trump, and they, you know, they still prefer Obama. It doesn't matter to a lot of black Americans and a lot of Democrats, and I'm talking to the white ones too. The white Democrats, it doesn't matter to Democrats in general, I guess, where the economy is. It seems like nowadays they don't care about any of that. They don't care about any of that. It seems like all they care about is what the leaders of the Democratic Party are telling them to care about. All these social issues and can't let this grown man who says they're a woman now come into the bathroom with women. You know, let this person get married. We need to fight for justice because black people are getting murdered in the streets. It's sickening. It's almost like the Democrats want you to focus on everything else but their policies. Let me repeat that. It's almost like the Democrats want you to focus on everything else except their policies. Folks, it's not a hard decision, which is why the Democrats like to make it an emotional one. Because when you sit down and you start comparing policies, you quickly realize that it's one party that's pushing for the American dream. And I always tell you, it is not to say the Republicans are perfect, because I'm going to get into them in a second. And I got a lot to say. But when it comes to true conservative values and economics, it's very clear that one party believes that you can do it. One party believes that you can't. One party wants to provide you with the tools and resources to live the American dream. One party wants to be your daddy. It's a very easy choice. So what the Democrats like to do is they don't want you to sit down. They don't want you to think about it from a fact-based perspective or with any logic. They want to make you emotional. They want you upset. They want you angry. They want you scared. They want you to have all these different feelings and emotions, because if you do, it's a lot easier. It's a lot more easy. But it's easier to manipulate a person when they're in an emotional state. If you are already in an emotional state, it's easier for someone to rile you up. So it's common sense. That's why it's always about everything's racist. Everything is racist now to the Democrats. Because they realize that's a winning hand. If we make this about racism, we'll win. If we brand the other guys racist, we'll win. It's hard to fight a racist label once it's tagged to you. It's hard, especially for, you know, white Republicans. they keep trying to do it to black conservatives and it doesn't stick as well. Because a lot of us, we know, we understand the black experience. We have the black experience. We know what the black experience is in America. You're not about to tell us that we're racist, especially when a lot of us have been Democrats at one point. We know what y'all are talking about. We were part of that side. A lot of us were voting that way, or at the very least told that we should support that side. So we weren't even paying attention to the GOP for a long time. We know the game. You can't play the game on somebody who was part of the game. We know the game. We see the rules. We know what the rules are. You can't play us. But for a lot of white conservatives, they do that a lot. They tag the racism label on them, and they know it's going to be hard for them to shake. And we know the game. So, you know, I'm telling my liberal friends out there, you know, you guys need to be mindful and to turn off the TV and to do your research. I'm going to tell you that in every episode. Do your own research. Because if someone is trying to keep you upset and angry, there's normally a reason. It's like that friend. I don't know if you guys had a friend. I had a friend back in school. I'm not going to say any names. But I had a friend back in school. And I had two friends. And I didn't know at the time, but friend A didn't like friend B. So friend A used to always talk to me about friend B. Like, oh, yeah, he's this and he's that and he's bad news and blah, blah, blah. Just saying all this negative stuff. After a while, I'm starting to think, oh, man, yeah, he's... I don't know if I should hang around friend B like that. He is a problem. Because friend A is just filling my head up with more and more stuff. So I'm starting... Anytime friend B said anything that was slightly off, I was like, oh, yeah, that's an example. There it is. Because friend A had filled my head up with so much animosity towards friend B. That's what the Democrats do, folks. They literally fill your head up with all this negative... with these negative thoughts, negative stereotypes, to the point that you can't even look at the Republicans and evaluate them for what they are. You already have a narrative going into the conversation with a Republican, a thought process. You already are thinking a certain way about what they're probably like or what they stand for before you have even evaluated them. That's a problem. That's a problem. And that's what I'm challenging you guys to do, is to take off the blinders. Remove the emotions. Study both sides with a clear head and a clear mind. I don't care if you got to meditate, pray, do what you got to do so that you go in with a clear mind and find the facts. I say that all the time because the facts are on the conservative side. Now, conservatives, you probably are like, oh yeah, he's right. Oh yeah, you gotta come on our side because we are the ones with the facts and you're on the wrong team right now. Your team is a mess. Have a seat, conservatives. Because y'all, it's some stuff we need to get into with y'all in a second as well. And we're gonna touch on it because there's a war breaking out on the right. And you better believe I have something to say. We'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. So I know I talked a lot about the left in the beginning and I, you know, the job numbers and the deeper meaning of what it means for our economy going forward and how this compares to social programs and other programs, economic programs that have been put in place by the left. However, I do want to talk about some things that is happening on the conservative side. So unless you've been under a rock, you probably realize or know already that Caitlyn Jenner, from what they're calling her in the news, I am going to refer to Caitlyn Jenner as Bruce Jenner, and not a her, but a him. And I'm going to do that because I'm following my beliefs. So before I get into this Republican war about Bruce Jenner, I want to touch on something. I'm not transphobic. I'm not scared of trans people. If I see a trans person out, I'm not slamming doors in their face. I'm not knocking food off of their table. I'm not disrespecting them. I think that's the mindset that some people have when we say that we don't support transgenders and other things that we say that we don't support. No, it does not mean to disrespect them. I'm not disrespectful to trans people. I'm not going to treat them worse than I'm treating the average person I'm running into. I have no reason to treat them worse. What I am going to do, though, is be honest about where I stand and about my beliefs. And by me calling what you guys call, who you guys call, many of you guys, I should say, not all of you guys, but many of you guys call Bruce Caitlin, me calling him Bruce is not me intentionally trying to disrespect him. It is me sticking to my beliefs. And you can tell me, oh, well, you are disrespecting, you know, Bruce, because Bruce is Caitlin now. And whether you mean it or not, you're being disrespectful. No. I'm not disrespecting him. He has the right to be and say whoever he wants to be and say. If he wants to say he's a woman, that's fine. You want to dress like a woman, you want to walk around and say and get your hair done, your nails done, and do all this stuff like a woman, it's fine. I'm not going to stand in front of the nail salon like, no, you can't get your nails done. I'm not going to stand in front of the clothing store while you're buying your women's clothes or the cash register saying, no, you can't buy this. I'm not going to go around, you know, with a blowhorn and yell in your ear every day like, you are a man. I'm not doing any of that. But what I am doing is when the conversation is brought up by me, when I'm talking about it, I am going to call you Bruce. Because for me, that is what I believe in. It's the same thing with the people who refuse to make the gay wedding cake. Their religion, the Christians, they don't support gay marriage. How are you going to force them to make a cake that's clearly for a gay wedding when it's not what they support? You can't make someone change their beliefs to fit you. Okay, you cannot do that. The same way I'm not making you change your name back to Bruce or tell you every single day that you need to change back to Bruce. You can't make me change how I feel to fit what you want. That's not how it works. So for trans people who get offended, I think you guys are wrong. If someone is being disrespectful to you, that's different. If you want to point out, like, this person is being rude to me, this person is cussing at me, this person is yelling at me, I can't even live my life, then I would say, yeah, that person is wrong. I would say that person is wrong. They should not be disrespecting you just because you're trans. That's my opinion. They should not be disrespecting you just because you're trans. I'm just saying that again. However, if you have now associated disrespect with the fact that they won't call you by the name you have decided to be called when you're clearly choosing that name because you are now identifying as a different gender than the one you were born being, that's a problem for me. That's a problem for me because now you're telling them to compromise their beliefs and that's wrong. So Bruce Jenner is running for governor of California. And conservatives are split right now. I mean, they're split. I saw a tweet. It had me cracking up. So Corinne Tatum, Brandon Tatum's wife. Shout out to Brandon and Corinne. That's fam bam right there. I love them. Corinne, she she put up a tweet. It was an Instagram story. And she said, the Ahmaud Arbery case divided black conservatives. The Caitlyn Bruce Jenner situation is dividing the white ones. I died. Because it is true. I mean, I've seen a lot of conservatives, black, white, Hispanic. I've seen a lot of people weigh in. But I mean, I'm telling you, my white conservatives, my white brothers and sisters out there, my conservatives, y'all are intense right now about this Bruce Jenner thing. I'm seeing it every day on my timeline on Twitter. I mean, it is the fight of y'all life right now. Y'all are going back and forth. I mean, it's, I'm not going to lie, I laughed a bit. I have been laughing quite a bit because it's intense. I don't know why this riled up my white conservatives so much. I feel it. I feel y'all, though. Y'all got to fight. You got to fight. Do what you got to do. But it's splitting conservatives right now for a lot of reasons because I think people are battling with what are we conserving. Now, you know, I do understand that there are people out there who are economically conservative, and socially liberal. And then I've actually met people who are, you know, socially conservative, and then they're liberal when it comes to economics. That is a thing. And Bruce Jenner's team actually acknowledged that. I don't know if my conservative friends have seen that, but Bruce Jenner's team actually acknowledged that he is economically conservative, but socially he is very liberal. That was their exact words. Very, not liberal, very liberal. I mean, he is trans, so I mean, very is probably the right word there. I'm just going to go ahead and say what I feel. We should not be supporting Bruce Jenner for governor. We should not. And I get some conservatives are like, this is our best chance to win. California is liberal and we have to put somebody forth that can win this. When you start talking like that, you're compromising your values now. And I would rather lose the election than compromise my values. Because if you are a true Christian, you have to believe that we're going to win in the end. You have to believe that. You have to. I don't believe that we should be in the business of compromising our values to win elections. I'm sorry, I don't. And I want to share something really quickly before I continue in what I feel is an important topic right now. I realize that we're all sinners. I've said this before on previous episodes. I'm a sinner. We are all sinners. If you think you're not a sinner, then you must think that you're God. We're all sinners. But God does call for us to turn away from sin. Not to intentionally continue in it. There's a big difference from being a sinner and then purposely sinning. When you continue to sin, and when you continue to live in sin, you are now completely disrespecting God. Openly. Caitlyn Jenner is completely disrespecting God. Bruce Jenner, who Caitlyn Jenner really is who I would support if it was still Bruce Jenner. and it's a difference because, and I know some people are saying, well, that's not right. And that means that you're literally not voting for this person because they're transgender. You're right in a way. But let me tell you a little bit about why I feel that way and what that means. When you elect someone who is transgender for a party that is trying to conserve socially, economically, all of it, we are essentially saying that we'll compromise on whatever we need to compromise on to win an election. This is a two-party system. So when we're going to compromise our values, that means that we're shifting pretty much towards liberal ideology. We all know liberal ideology is a problem, right? At least I hope we all know that. So why would we compromise to shift towards liberal ideology? We're not talking about a spending bill, folks. We're talking about our values. I'm here for meeting in the middle and finding different ways that the two parties can come together and decide on how best to close on a spending deal, but we are talking about our values. You're not just compromising on conservative values, you're compromising on Christian ones. So I'm not going to compromise. Now, if Bruce Jenner was still out here calling himself Bruce Jenner like he truly is, and he said, you know, socially I'm a little bit of a liberal, fine. At the end of the day, I understand the dynamics of California. I still wouldn't support him full force, and I still would be calling out a lot of stuff, but it would make a little bit more sense because of where he is. I mean, California, a lot of conservatives in California are like, really, they're kind of, I feel like, center right. Like they, you know, I mean, you think about some of the people they have elected in the past, and I feel like it's liberal heaven out there. Even for some conservatives, they have a lot of liberal values. It would make more sense. I'm not saying that I would fully, again, I'm not saying I would fully support him. Would have to see what his stances would be if he was still acknowledging himself as Bruce Jenner. But it would allow me to at least think about it a little bit more. But when you are literally out here flashing yourself as a woman, promoting yourself as a woman, when you're clearly a man, that's just too far. That's too far for me. So, you know, but I want you guys to evaluate that on your own. But the civil war that's happening right now in the Republican Party is basically that divide. Should we still support this person despite everything that they've done to themselves? I say no, because of the message it sends. We do have a country to save, but I am not willing to compromise my values to save it. I'm not willing to do it. The whole lesser of two evils approach? No, I'm not for that. I'm not with it. I think that we have to make sure that our values are being represented. And again, I'm not a voter in California, so ultimately I can't vote anyway, right? I'm not voting in California. For my Californians who are listening, this is for you guys to ultimately decide. But just keep in mind that vote is your vote, and it's going to always be your vote once you cast that vote. You can't change that vote. I'm not saying you can't right your wrongs going forward, but once the vote is cast, it is cast, and you have to answer for that vote. I don't think it's worth compromising our values. But if I saw Bruce Jenner out, I have no animosity towards him. I'm not going to be rude. I'm not going to be disrespectful, just like I wouldn't be to any trans person. But if he asked me, I would tell him, I cannot vote for you. I cannot. So that's something for you guys to think about. And I want trans people who are listening, if anyone is listening, or if you know a trans person who needs that explaining, or someone to explain it to them like I just did earlier, share that with them, okay? A lot of conservatives are not, it's not that we don't hate trans people. This is a narrative pushed by the left that all conservatives hate trans. No. A lot of us just don't agree with your lifestyle. And then many Democrats feel that way too. You have some socially conservative Democrats out there, right, who don't agree with this. We don't want you in, we don't want grown men in women's bathrooms because you say that you're a woman now. We don't want, no. That does not make me transphobic. That means I don't want you in a bathroom with my daughter. That makes me a father. Who cares about his daughter? We don't want that. We don't want you forcing stuff down our throats. We don't want to make wedding cakes for you if that's against our belief. We don't want that. Don't force your beliefs on us. Do not make us call you by some other name in an attempt to cancel us if we choose not to because of our beliefs. What's the point of being a liberal or calling yourself a liberal if you're not willing to hear different views and be open to different views? The party of JFK is long gone. And just because the mainstream media focuses on Trump and focuses on the Republicans and all the problems we have on this side, just because they do that does not mean that the Democrats are saints. No, it just means that you guys have cover. It means that all your flaws, all your problems, all your issues normally don't get blasted like the Hunter Biden crap, like conservative issues do, because you have cover from your liberal friends in the media, which we talked about in the last episode as well, Unmasking America. Go listen to it if you haven't. So that's the end of that rant, y'all. Listen, we do have to save this country. We do need to fight back for this country, but we need to do it the right way. We need to push forth candidates who can win, but candidates who also don't make us compromise on what is a true conservative. We are a party that welcomes a lot of different people from different backgrounds. We are the big tent party, but we are conservatives. And I want to be clear, this is a message to GOP leadership. I vote Republican because I'm a conservative. If you guys stop representing conservative values, you will lose my vote too. And I'm not going to the Democrats. So if my friends from the left who are listening, don't celebrate, because it doesn't mean I'm turning back. I will not go back. I mean, that party is so far gone, I don't even recognize it. Party of violence and unorder and cancel culture and disrespect. Anti-God. I can go on. High taxes. Victimhood. Let me stop. I'm not going back to the Democrats. I'm going to tell you that right now. However, Republicans, you will lose my vote because I do not see myself as a Republican first. I see myself as a conservative first. There is a difference. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We'll chat more. Meanwhile, we will be taking questions throughout this week. So if you have any questions, make sure you're following The Pierre Wilson Show on Instagram. Again, The Pierre Wilson Show. On Twitter, it is The P. Wilson Show. You know, Twitter has that limit, so we couldn't put the full thing as the username. Boo, Twitter. I hate Twitter sometimes. But The P. Wilson Show on Twitter. But Instagram is where you want to be, because throughout this week, my team is going to actually post some things. I'm asking for you guys to submit your questions. Next week, I'm going to take audience questions. I'm so excited. I also have some interviews locked in and ready to go that are going to be coming up over the next few weeks. So I can't wait for you guys to hear from my guest. But in the meantime, make sure you are subscribed so you can get alerts for every episode that comes out. Again, every Thursday, an episode will be released. And if you love the show, please rate us. Well, I would appreciate it so much if you guys take a second to just go and rate us. You can do it on Apple. I believe Google has a place where you can rate us. Just go ahead and rate the show. Until next week, guys, stay safe. Keep fighting for America.